You are listening to an Elam Christian Center podcast. We hope that you are inspired, encouraged, and empowered by the message you are about to hear.
We're in a series called When You Pray, and we're week three of that series. And what we've been doing is looking each week at a prayer that's in the Bible. Last week, Steve did the Lord's Prayer. The week before that, I did Hannah's Prayer. And we've been looking at them and asking ourselves, what can we learn from these prayers? What can we apply to our own prayer life? And our goal really is just to maybe lift the level just a little bit, to take a step forward, or as Steve used the thumb dial last week, do you remember? And we're just trying to heat up that dial a little bit more in our prayer life. And so today we're going to look at the prayer that's found in 1 Kings chapter 3, and it's Solomon's prayer. And many of you might be familiar with this prayer. It's Solomon's prayer for wisdom. And it starts off with the Lord asking him a question. It says, that night in verse 5, that night the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream. And God said, what do you want? Ask and I'll give it to you. Now, this could possibly feel like a little bit of a trick question if you ask me. Because have you ever been in one of those situations where you're asked a question and you know there's a right answer to the question? And you know that if you don't get the answer right, you're going to be in big trouble. It's kind of similar to when your wife asks you what her outfit looks like. There's a right answer and a wrong answer to the question. You better get the right answer, okay? And I kind of feel like maybe this was one of those kind of questions. So the good news is that Solomon got the right answer. Here is his response. It says, Solomon replied, you showed great and faithful love to your servant, my father David, because he was honest and true and faithful to you. And you've continued to show this great and faithful love to him today by giving him a son to sit on his throne. Now, O Lord my God, you have made me king instead of my father David, but I'm like a little child. He doesn't know his way around. And here I am in the midst of my own chosen people, a nation so great and numerous they cannot be counted. Give me an understanding heart so that I can govern your people well and know the difference between right and wrong. For who by himself is able to govern this great people of yours? The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for wisdom. And so the Lord replied, because you have asked for wisdom in governing my people with justice and have not asked for long life or wealth or the death of your enemies, I will give you what you asked for. I'll give you a wise and understanding heart, such as no one else has ever had or will ever have. But I'll also give you what you did not ask for, riches and fame. No other king in all the world will be compared to you for the rest of your life. And if you follow me and obey my decrees and my commands as your father David did, I will give you long life. Lord, we commit this time to you right now, looking at Solomon's prayer. Father, as we open it up, Lord, as we unpack it a little bit, God, I pray that you would teach us. Show us what you want us to see, what you want us to hear, what you want us to know. Father, what you want us to take to heart. God, help us. Help us to transform, to be transformed in our own prayer life as we look to your word today. Lord, speak through me, use me in Jesus' name. Amen. Solomon's prayer, give me an understanding heart. Lord, give me wisdom. So what can we learn about our own prayer life, or for our own prayer life, through this prayer that Solomon prays? Because it's a pretty good prayer, isn't it? Like, I mean, if you were to talk about successful prayers, this one's solid. I mean, if we're to look at prayers that worked, this is a really good example. God's answer to this prayer was pretty mind-blowing, if you ask me. Not only did he give Solomon what he asked for, but he also gave him all the things that he didn't ask for, but maybe he wished he had, I don't know. And so I've been asking God the question all week, what was the key to this super successful prayer that Solomon prayed? Because you and I both know that we need those kinds of prayers. Because I know I've found myself in my life many times feeling like Solomon when he says, I'm a child who doesn't know his way around. What's he saying? He's saying, I've got this big job which has big responsibility, but I have no idea what I'm doing. And I'm not sure if you've ever been there, but I know I have. The first day I walked into my very first classroom as a classroom teacher, I walked in, I was just to 20. Like I had just tipped over from 19 to 20. And the prayer I prayed every time I saw a parent walk into my classroom was, please, Lord, don't let them ask me how old I am. Like I was so close to being a kid, it wasn't funny. And I would often pray that prayer, God, please, because I didn't know what I was doing. I was literally just a child. I had no idea what I was doing, but I didn't know them to need them to know that I didn't know what I was doing. I needed them to think I had it all together. But you probably know what that's like, don't you? Because you've hopped in a plane with your entire family and moved to a new nation and had to restart your life again without knowing what on earth was going on or what you were doing. You've had that day, that first day on a new job or first day at uni, haven't you? Where you've walked in thinking, I have no idea what's going on here. Wondering if you've got what it takes. Wondering if you can do what you need to do to get the job done. You've walked into a room full of executives all wearing suits, looking like they've got it all together and they know exactly what's up. Meanwhile, you're wondering how long it's going to take before someone realizes you don't know what's up. You don't know what's down, left or right or upside down. You just have no idea. You've walked out of that hospital with a one-day-old baby thinking, are they going to send a grown-up home with me? Because I don't know what to do. Like, haven't we all been there? Haven't we all felt like Solomon? Just a child. I don't know my way around. And what Solomon shows us in his prayer is actually very simple. I'm not going to be revealing any kind of brain surgery type stuff today. It's simple. When you don't know what to do, pray. It's a really good strategy for prayer. When you don't know what to do, pray. When you don't have the answer, pray. In fact, even when you do have the answer, pray. Because there were two keys to Solomon's prayer I want to look at today. And the first key was this: Solomon acknowledged God's faithfulness. Solomon acknowledged God's faithfulness. In verse 6, he said, "You showed great and faithful love to your servant David, my father David, because he was honest and true and faithful to you, and you have continued to show this great and faithful love to him today by giving him a son to sit on his throne." Now, I noticed something new as I studied the prayer of Solomon throughout the last 2 weeks, and it's the first time I've ever noticed this, but this is not the first time that a prayer was prayed that Solomon would have wisdom. In fact, if you go back to 1 Chronicles chapter 22, there's a prayer that reflects the exact prayer that we're looking at today in 1 Kings 3, when King David prays that Solomon would have wisdom. 1 Chronicles 22 verse 12 says, "And may the Lord give you wisdom and understanding, that you may obey the law of the Lord your God as you rule over Israel. For you will be successful if you carefully obey the decrees and regulations the Lord has gave to Israel through Moses. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or lose heart." See, this answer to prayer was not just an answer to Solomon's prayer, but it also showed that God was faithful in answering David's prayer too. And in Solomon's prayer, we see that he recognizes that there's this pattern of God's faithfulness, not just in his own prayer life, not just in his own faith journey, but in generations that have gone before him. Solomon is recognizing that he is a God who is faithful, not just today, but he was faithful yesterday, and he's been faithful throughout history. He's been faithful throughout his story for many, many generations. And remembering God's faithfulness is incredibly important because it carries a twofold purpose. Number one, the first thing that it does is actually a reminder to self. And God does know that we need a reminder to self so often, because when we're in a state of the unknown, I don't know what to do, I have no idea what's going on, I don't know what's around the corner, I'm not sure how to navigate this. When we're in that kind of place, we often have to remind ourselves of who God is and how he behaves, because our flesh and our feelings, the I don't know what to do, often means we tend to forget. And sometimes the problems become so overwhelming to us, they are all consuming, that they overshadow the faithful, steadfast, consistent presence of God that has been there all along. But acknowledging God's faithfulness and recognizing his faithfulness is not actually just about reminding ourselves of his faithfulness. It's more than that. It is also an acknowledgement of God's role in our lives. Let me explain. Solomon not only acknowledges God's faithfulness in his family's story and history, but ultimately he's acknowledging and giving God the praise and the credit for the fact that he is even sitting on the throne in the first place. Solomon knew that it was not because of his might, it wasn't because of the giftings on his life, it wasn't because he had done anything to get himself there. The only reason he was sitting on that throne was because of the goodness, the faithfulness, the mercy, and the grace of God. Many years ago, Steve and I were on a holiday. I'm pretty sure it was pre-children. We were went on a beach holiday, and we decided to go out on a kayak. And we were in a double kayak. I'm sitting in the front, Steve's sitting in the back. And we head on out, and I'm turning my oars, and I'm thinking, woo, this is like smooth sailing. We were just gliding through the water, guys. Just like, I was like, this is lovely. Woo, this is great. I'm just, you know, chilling back and relaxing with my oar and going into this kayak thing. I was just enjoying the sun on my face and the wind in my hair. And I'm thinking to myself, this isn't so hard. Like, I'm really good at this kayaking thing. And we were just coming sort of back in toward land. And I started to voice my awesomeness at kayaking. Started saying things like, gee, you know, I'm pretty good at this, Steve. Like, I think maybe this is my new thing, kayaking. And I was thinking, this isn't so hard. And then as we just come in to the beach, to the shore, I turn back to look at Steve, and he is sweating and huffing and puffing and busting his gut. See, I'm here thinking that it was my work, that it was my kayaking that was keeping us afloat, that it was my work and my awesome kayak skills that were keeping us moving and flowing beautifully along that ride. What I didn't realize is that, mate, it was all Steve. It was all him. I contributed absolutely nothing to the success of the kayaking. And I wonder how many times we make that same mistake. I wonder how many times we mistake our working and our pushing and our striving for the thing that's keeping us afloat. I wonder how many times we mistake our work for the thing that has got us to where we are today. Whereas if we looked behind us, we would see that it was actually all the Lord. It was him, not me. And in this prayer, Solomon acknowledges that it was God, not him. He was in the boat. He was the one. And that it was him who put him on the throne. Kind of reminds me of Paul's confession in 1 Corinthians 15:10, where he says, but wherever I am now, whatever I am now, it is all because God poured out his special favor on me. He's saying, not without results, for I've worked harder than any of the other apostles, yet it was not I, but God. It was God working through me by his grace. By his grace, but by the grace of God go I. It is due to his faithfulness, not our fruitfulness, his faithfulness. And I think too often we fall into the trap of taking the credit for God's mercy and grace over our lives. And so maybe today we could begin to pray like Solomon, and we could first go in with an acknowledgement of his faithfulness, not just faithfulness in answering prayers, but actually his faithfulness at like his work in our lives, like what he's done and where we are, and his acknowledging that it is out of his goodness and his grace. Solomon acknowledged God's faithfulness. The second key, I think, to Solomon's prayer was this. Solomon acknowledged his need for God. He recognized God's faithfulness, and then he acknowledged his need for God. See, all throughout Solomon's prayer, he speaks of his knowledge of his own human limitation. In verse 7, he says, "Now, O Lord my God, you made me king instead of my father David, but I'm like a little child who doesn't know his way around. And I'm here in the midst of your own chosen people, a nation so great and numerous they cannot be counted." And in verse 9, he says, "For who by himself is able to govern this great people of yours?" Solomon is looking down the barrel of a new job that he's just been appointed, and he fesses up. He's like, "I know I'm supposed to be king of all these people, but I have no idea. I actually feel like a small child right now, even though I'm supposed to be this great king." I feel like that sometimes. In fact, I feel like more times than I don't feel like that. I'm often looking around the room for the grown-up, hoping that they will take charge. I'm looking around going, "Isn't there someone else here today who could know what to do that's not me?" There's been so many times where I have known without doubt that I don't know what I'm doing. It's just true. I really don't. See, to acknowledge your own human limitations is actually really important because it'll save you a whole lot of pain and discomfort in the process. We all have that friend, don't we, who does not know their limits. Some of you will know that many emphasis on many years ago, like maybe even some would say a whole nother lifetime ago, Steve and I were involved in dabbling just a little bit in hip-hop dancing in like a dance crew. That's a newsflash for some of you. You're like, "Wow, mind blown." Don't worry, you can forget it after this message is finished. But we had been part of this group for about 10 years and everyone was kind of moving on to different stages of life, like having babies and getting married and moving countries and, you know, all that sort of stuff. And so we decided it was about time the group wrapped up and we all retired. We all retired from this dancing gig. And so we had a last hurrah and we put on a big concert and we got other friends who were also dancers and performers and bands and stuff like that to come and perform. And then we did the final performance ourselves to say, "Thanks for your support over the last 10 years, we're out." And at the very end, we got everyone back out on the stage to say thank you. We sort of did a big, "Yay, thanks everybody, that was awesome." And now you will remember a couple of weeks ago, Steve shared that he spent a season learning how to do flips, like backflips, do you remember? He didn't tell you at the time, but this is what it was for. He kept that under wraps. So there were backflips and front flips and running backflips all happening in these dances that we used to do. And during the thank you part at the end, when we had a whole crowd of people up here as a mixture of dancers and bands and others standing up here on the stage, one of the flips that they used to do was called the running gainer, which is like a running backflip where they would run and then leap off one foot and go backwards around and land. And at this concert, we were saying thank you. And I'll never forget this moment when we thanked one of the bands that was playing. And out of nowhere, I mean nowhere, no one was expecting this. Out of nowhere, the guitarist, so not a dancer, not one of the flips guys who knew what he was doing. No, out of nowhere, the guitarist ran out and in front of hundreds of people, did a running gainer, a running backflip in the middle of the stage and landed in front of a crowded room on a hard wooden stage straight onto the top of his head. Now, he was not injured, thank the Lord. But we were all looking at each other like, "Dude, know your limits, man. That was not part of your repertoire. That was not in your skill set. That was not in the realm of your capabilities." You know, it's kind of something I feel like saying to us mums and dads over 40 when we try and get back into sports for a little while. "Guys, know your limits, man. Know the limits of your body." I was talking to a friend the other day. He was like, "Oh man, I played my first game of soccer." He's like 45. He's like, "I'm now injured and cannot play for the next 6 weeks." I'm right though, aren't I? Solomon was not that friend. He knew his limits. Solomon came to God in full admission of his own human failings, frailties, and weaknesses. I love the way that Solomon approaches God. Humbly, in full submission, he states very clearly, I cannot do this without you, God. I am all too aware of that. He says, for who by himself is able to govern this great people of yours? He's like, I'm not doing this on my own, God, because I know that I can't. It's reminiscent, isn't it, of Moses when he says, if you won't go with me, God, we're not going. Solomon knew not to even attempt this mission, this calling, this purpose that God had put before him without the Lord. What was Solomon saying in this prayer? Ultimately, he was making this confession. God, you are big and great. I am small and weak. He's saying, I don't know, but you do. He's saying, I can't, but you can. He's saying, I'm not, but you are. And in his prayer, he comes to this very logical conclusion that if God is faithful and I am weak, then I need his wisdom. And I think that's a conclusion we all need to come to. If God is faithful, which he is, and I am weak, which I'm not saying what you are, but I am weak, then I need his wisdom. I need his wisdom. God is big, I am small, therefore I need his help. Those two things are what lead us to seek God's wisdom and discernment above all other things. A recognition of his faithfulness and an acknowledgement of our weakness. Remember that Solomon could have asked for anything. Anything at all. I'm going to ask Josh to come and join me on the keys. He could have asked for anything at all. Given all his options, there was one request that stood head and shoulders above everything else. What he asked for was startling in its simplicity and yet crucial to his success as a godly leader. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and distinguish right from wrong, for who is able to govern this great people of yours? In this particular translation, it's used the phrase discerning heart, and that can be translated as a hearing heart. Solomon wanted a heart that heard from the Lord. When you don't know what to do, pray. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, a very familiar verse to many of us. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your paths straight. What's that saying? It's saying God's faithful. I'm weak. I need you. Where in your life, where is it that you need to stop trying to figure it out on your own and start praying for wisdom? Where do you need to stop pretending that you've got it all sorted and start acknowledging that you need God? Could you wake up tomorrow and before anything else, could you pray like Solomon prayed? It might go something like this, very simply, God, give me an understanding heart. Give me a hearing heart, a heart that hears you. Give me wisdom. Maybe our prayer could look like this. God, you are faithful. I am weak. Therefore, I need you today. Lord, we do make that our prayer today. God, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your faithfulness through generations, over history, over years, God, and we stand on that and we declare that and we remind ourselves of that. Even in the midst of the problems and the issues and the stuff that we're facing, oh God, the things that would overwhelm us, oh Lord, we stand on your faithfulness and we declare it and we remind ourselves of who you are. But we also acknowledge who got us here in the first place. And God, we want to give you all the credit and the praise for the job that we have, for the gifts that we have, for the position that we get to be in, for the people we get to interact with, and for this church, Lord, for our relationship with you, for our salvation. God, we just acknowledge that it's all you, it wasn't me. And we say thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. And God, we also recognize and we acknowledge our own weakness, our own failings and our own frailties. Help us, Lord, to see our own human limitations, oh God. And in doing so, may we know that we simply need you. We need more of you, God. We need your wisdom. God, we want hearts that hear the Lord. God, that's our prayer today. Our prayer today is that you would give us an understanding heart, a heart that hears, a heart of wisdom, a heart that's led by you. In Jesus' name. I want to pray one more prayer. I'd love to just take a minute right now, just with every head still bowed, every eye closed, just so people can focus and they're not distracted and they can have this moment with the Lord. I want to just speak to anybody in the room today and online as well. If you don't know Jesus, if you don't know the Lord, if you're not in relationship with God, you say here today, you say, I'm not a Christian. I don't, this church thing is all very new to me. Well, I'm going to lead you in a prayer in just a moment's time. And I'm asking you, will you make that decision today? Is today the day that you make that call? See, God loves you and he made you and he's got a great plan for your life. We all sin, we mess up, we make mistakes. The Bible calls it sin. And that sin, it separates us from God. But God, in his mercy and in his grace, he sent his son Jesus to die on a cross. And when he died, he took upon himself what you and I would do for our sin. And he extends to every single one of us today his grace. He gives us forgiveness for our past, a new life right now, a hope for our future and an eternity with him. It's a pretty good deal if you ask me. And if today you're sitting here, you're saying, Bex, I need Jesus in my life. It's time. It's time. If today's your day, I'm going to invite you. I'm going to pray a prayer. I'll pray it out loud. You pray it in your heart. But why don't you make this your own prayer? You can really mean it. With everything that you've got, this is your prayer, it's not mine. I'll just lead you in it. Are you ready? We say, Dear God, today I surrender my life to you. I know I have sinned, but I believe, Jesus, you died for me. I turn from my old life and I turn to you. Come in, be the Lord of my life and make me brand new today. I choose from this day on, I will live for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this Elam Christian Center podcast. Please subscribe to keep hearing more life-changing messages. For more information about our church, please visit www.elamchristiancenter.org.nz.